Hey, I hope you have a copy of God's Word with you this morning. I hope that you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, man. So we want to spend some time in the Word this morning. Hey, just letting you know, we don't know how long as you turn there, Acts chapter 27. We're not sure how long this will go, but we want to be prepared and for whatever. We are working on striving on a way that maybe we can still do our sunrise service, maybe doing drive-in church here at the church parking lot, so to speak, for Easter Sunday. Man, that's, I just can't hardly fathom having Easter Sunday without gathering at the church. We know that that presents different challenges and all those things. We don't want to compromise anyone's health or safety or any of those different things. I think that we can work toward that end if it's necessary, but we'll be letting you know. I want to just thank all those who are continuing to stay faithful. Hey, remember last week we talked about connecting and contacting at least one person a day in our church family just to check on them, see how they're doing, see if they need anything. As you do that, try to meet needs. If there are needs that I need to help with, our deacons need to help with, our Sunday school teachers, our leadership, hey, just let us know. Some of you have been reaching out, and I'm so glad of that. Let's continue to do that. I'm trying to reach out to people in both phone calls and text messages and things like that. Deacons are checking on their families as well. Sunday school teachers, man, so excited about our small groups getting together online. Some are using Zoom and some are using Facebook Live and different things like that. So really good that we can keep those small groups connections going. If this goes beyond Easter Sunday, and we don't see anything right now that's saying that it's going to slack off, but what we can do is, one of the things that I want to do is we'll start meeting back digitally like this for our Sunday afternoon sessions. We'll kind of get back into DTR, and we'll see about that. But we'll get you some information about that. But hey, this morning, guys, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 27, and we're talking about how we respond in times of crisis. Over the last few weeks, I've tried to intentionally be very encouraging from the Word, and I don't want to be discouraging today, but I also want to make sure that we see things as they really are. And it's an unprecedented time in our world. It really is. And we know that the world that we live in today is much, much different than the world that we were living in just a couple of weeks ago. A few weeks ago, we were seeing some news reports about things that were going on around the world in different places, but it really wasn't impacting us. But that's changed, and it really has. But when we think about how we respond to this virus and its changing impact on our communities and everything, it reminds me that in a flash, in just a moment's notice, our lives can be changed. And it may not be by this virus, but the reality of it, we all experience these things. One day everything's going great, and the next thing you know, something happened. There's this crisis that has hit our life, and in the midst of that crisis, we respond. And how we respond largely is built on our faith and the foundation of our faith that we have. Some of those examples of that, you know, some of you that are tuning in, I see folks' names that are popping up, and I know that you've experienced this. Hey, you the tests have been done, you've sat down in the doctor's office, and now he comes in and says he's got bad news. And that word that no one wants to hear, cancer, is mentioned. And in an instant like that, your whole world got changed. And there was uncertainties, and there were fears, and all those different things sometimes that came along with that. For some folks, it's in the middle of the night, they got a phone call. I mean, it's midnight, your phone rings, and no one wants to hear their phone ring at that time of the morning because it's never really good news, is it? You get that midnight phone call, and it may be your teenager or something. He's calling from the local law enforcement offices. Or worse than that, some will get a phone call and it's from the local law enforcement officers about their child. There's been a tragic wreck or something. And in an instant, your life is changed. For some, they've walked into their boss's office thinking things are going great with their company and all those different things. And you start hearing words like, we're scaling back, we're downsizing, and all these different things. And the next thing you know, you walk out of an office and you're not sure about your income, you're not sure about your job. And in an instant, a crisis has hit your life and your family and all these things. And we all have crises that hit our lives. It's not just in moments like this. Some will say, well, this isn't really a crisis, it's more of an inconvenience kind of deal. Well, there are people around the world that it is a very real crisis for them. But the question is, how do we respond in moments like this? G. Kimball Morgan once said, and I quote, "What we do in the crisis all depends on whether we see the difficulties in the light of God or God in the shadow of the difficulties." How we respond to these crisis moments really depends on how we understand and see our relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. See, when we're walking in faith, guys, these crisis moments, they may take us by surprise, but we realize and understand they never took God by surprise. And the reality of it is we need to walk under the understanding that our God is bigger than any crisis we might face, both today or tomorrow or for the rest of our lives. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." Man, He can do more than you can ever ask or imagine. "To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Hey, in the gospel, or in the book of Acts, we see in chapter 27 a crisis event happening. And I just want us to kind of walk through that event today and see some truths that we can be reminded of today. Now, what's happening in this text is Paul is being sent to Rome. He has been held because of he was arrested for his faith, and now he's being held, and he's going to be a testimony, a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God had already appointed that he would go there. But the process of getting there was going to be a challenge for him. He was going to be placed on a ship and to be taken to Rome before Caesar, and he was going to have to defend himself. But this ill-fated trip, if you will, this ill-fated voyage began with storms that were going to hit that ship. Just like Paul and just like those men on the Sea of Galilee with the Lord Jesus himself, when that storm hit, man, they started to wonder, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? What can we do? There are storms that are growing in my life and in your life. And that's not just a virus thing. That's a life thing, isn't it? How we face those things. What will we trust in? What will we believe in? What will be our anchor when the storms are blowing us to and fro and it seems like the ship that we're in is about to sink? What will we trust in? We're going to start in verse 9, Acts 27, beginning in verse 9 through verse 13. The word says, "When considerable time had passed, the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over. And Paul began to admonish them." This is what Paul was saying to them. "And said to them, 'Men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives.' But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. Because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, the majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there. If somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor in Crete, facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. When a moderate south wind came up, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete, close inshore." Well, the first thing that we see here is Paul tried to tell them, guys, this is not going to turn out good. The man of God was speaking out and saying, look, this is not well suited. We're messing up. This is not going to be good. But what do we see happening here? That the world was not listening to the message of the man of God. Now, when I say that, guys, it's really important. The church, we need to be the representation, that witness, that voice to a world right now. Not just during this virus time, but all the time. And we need to be proclaiming the truths of God's word to a world that may not know those truths and may not know those promises. We need to be proclaiming. Now, here's the big question that people are posing to us as Christians today. With all this virus stuff that's going on, if God loves us so much, why doesn't He do something about this virus? Why doesn't He fix this? Why doesn't He do something that would, if He loves us and He's all powerful, why doesn't He take care of this and remove it from our world, the whole planet kind of deal? Well, the reality of it is that we know that God has done something. He sent His Son to die for us so that we would have hope in the face of whatever crisis we might have. But the other reality of it is this. I do not believe that God caused this virus, but He did allow it. And so you have to ask the question, if God allowed this to happen, why? What does He want us to learn from this? You know, a few weeks ago, we as a church family were studying the book of Jonah, and we realized that in his desperation was when he called out to God, and God grabbed his heart and transformed and changed everything. And the reality of it is this, there are people right now, because of the situation, they're calling out to God in desperation. In those desperate moments, that's when we seek Him. That's when we call out to Him. We've cast religion aside. We've cast all this, the church thing aside. And now it's just the broken heart of a sinner calling out to a righteous and holy God for mercy and grace and all those things that we need. So we need to look at our lives today, not only as individuals, but as a nation and as a people. And we've got to say, God, what are you showing us? What are you wanting us to see here? And there's some things that we can see. And the reality of it, we can see that life is very fragile, that life can hinge on just a few little small things, man, can really bring a great crisis and challenge into our world kind of deal. And so when we see that, we need to realize that when God allows these things, He will use that to bring glory to Himself and spread the gospel. It's amazing what the gospel, how it's going forth through the internet and all these different things. Man, we ought to be thanking God for that we can have the technology to be able to do that. But here I want you to see the man of God was speaking out, but the world wasn't listening. As a matter of fact, the world says that the majority decided to rule against what the man of God said, and let's do what the majority says. Sometimes the majority is not right. We see that in Scripture many times. So we need to be hearing from God's people, but we also need to realize that as we proclaim that message of truth, the world may not want to hear that, but we still need to stand firm and proclaim what God has shown to us. You know, when this ship is fixing to be off course, and there's going to be great crisis because of it. So what we need to ask ourselves in the midst of this coronavirus crisis is my life on course? Is my life on course to where God wants me to be? And so what is the result of that? Well, let's continue to look. Verse 14 through 16. But before very long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind called Aquila, a northeasterner. This is out of Europe, says. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along, running under the shelter of a small island called Claudia. We were scarcely able to keep the ship's boat under control. When this great storm came upon them, you know what? The only thing they could do was give in to it. Was to give in to it. And some of you watching right now, you may be thinking, you know what? I just feel so helpless. There's nothing I can do. I've been kind of quarantined. I have to stay home. I can't be out near my friends or my family and all those different things. And there's just so much out from under our control right now. And so that within itself sometimes can bring a crisis, and we lose control. One of the reasons why we're going through so much fear right now and uncertainty is because we're not in control. We're not in control. The situation, we have no control over it. And, I mean, you can go to the store, you can go get some gas, you can do this and that, and you may speak to someone and grab a gas pump after them or a shopping buggy after them, and you don't know what you may be picking up or germs. It's out from under your control. It doesn't mean we need to be unwise or foolish about that, but the reality of it just reveals to us, hey man, this thing is out from under my control. I can't control it. Some people today are drifting just like this boat. They're just drifting through life, and they have no purpose, they have no direction. And that's not what God wants for His children. He wants us to stay on direction, on course, and living for the purpose of the gospel. And we can only do that when we stay close to Him, when we keep our eyes on His Word and our hearts near to His heart. Man, that's what it's all about. So this ship had lost control, and they were just giving in to the storm that was around them because they had no other choice. Look at verse 17. After they hoisted it up, they used supporting cables and undergirding the ship, and fearing that they might run aground on the shallows of Cyprus, they turned down the sea anchor, and in this way let themselves be driven along. Now here's what was happening. As the ship was going, they said, we got to get in these small little lifeboats, if you will. And they tried to let them down. Well, that wasn't going to work either. And now they're trying to put cables around the ship to hold it together. They're literally trying to strap this boat together to keep it into one place for their own safety. Now, it brings a good point to us. Hey, what are we trusting in? What's the ship that gets you through the storms of life? I mean, there are a lot of folks who are trusting in everything from their finances, their retirement, their 401k. A lot of folks are trusting in their bank accounts and all that kind of stuff. A lot of folks are trusting in their jobs. Hey, man, I've got a good job. That's going to get me through and all these different things. There's no telling what so many people trust in and are relying on to get us through that moment. A lot of people say, you know what, I've got family and friends that are close to me, and they'll always take care of me. They'll always, you know what, you may be in a situation right now where your family and friends can't get to you. It's not that they don't want to or that they wouldn't take, but they can't get to you. And so what are you trusting in? What's the ship that's carrying you through the storm? That's what we need to ask ourselves. And the question is it reliable? Can we trust in it? Is there something beyond this world that we can trust in that has a greater strength and a greater ability for us to put our faith in? It's been my experience of this, guys. If you're putting in your trust and your faith in a ship that's of this world, it doesn't matter if it's an organization, the government, or finances, or whatever that might be. If you're putting your trust and reliability into whatever is from this world, it has the capacity to fail you and let you down. Only the Lord Jesus is the one who will not fail you. He will not let you down. We can trust in Him. And that's what the world needs to hear right now. That God so loved us that He sent His Son to die for us, that we could face things like this virus or anything else, any other crisis in this life. And so, you know what? Our God is still in control. Man, every day we're dying a little bit to self, so that when that day comes that we step through that physical door of death into eternity, man, we're just ready to be with Jesus. We're just ready to be with Jesus. So here we see this crisis is very real for them. What they were trusting in to keep them alive, their safety net, if you will, they're having to strap it together because the crisis is threatening to destroy that. This crisis that we're facing right now may be destroying what you put your faith and trust in. And for a first time, you're starting to say, you know what, maybe I'm putting my faith in the wrong thing. Maybe I'm putting my faith in the wrong person, the wrong organization. Well, let's take a look at verse 18 through 20. What happens as this crisis continues? The next day, as we were beginning, being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. Now let me tell you something. That describes this crisis that they're in. It says they were being violently storm-tossed and they were jettisoning the cargo. This was a cargo ship. And you know what the role of a cargo ship is? It's to get materials from point A to point B. But when the storm has hit and now they're not worried about the cargo anymore, they're just trying to turn a cargo ship into a lifeboat that will keep them alive. It says they start throwing those things overboard. Man, that's a reminder to us is that, you know what, there's a lot of things that we're chasing after in this life. It can be the things of the world. It can be the different principles, all those different things. But when crisis hits, things get very focused, don't they? Whenever crisis hits, whenever our lives are threatened or the things that we're normally used to and pursuing, when those things, man, when crisis hits, we start to really narrow down what's really important in life, doesn't it? You know, when we talk to someone who's been diagnosed with terminal cancer or someone who has an illness or things like that, they're not concerned about those worldly things like they used to be. You know why? Because they just don't matter. The cargo's been jettisoned or thrown overboard. Now what we're focusing on is the main thing. Here's the deal, guys. Can I tell you something? We shouldn't wait till we get to a point of crisis before we realize what our lives are really about. Keep the main thing the main thing, and that we're not distracted by those things on the peripherals that really will have the capacity to distract us and pull us down. So in this text, we see that, man, they began to throw those things overboard. They took the ship's tackle. This is the stuff that kept the ship moving in the right direction. If it wasn't important, it was being ditched. And really, sometimes in a crisis, that's what we do. We start to identify what is really important in my life. What is really important in my life? Verse 20 says, they had neither seen the sun nor stars for many days. He said, no small storm was assailing us. These guys were sailors. They knew what it was like to have a storm at sea. But they knew in this moment, this was not just your everyday storm. Can I tell you something, guys? We've never experienced anything like a global pandemic before. I met this week with some pastors online from Dallas, Texas to across the country, and we were all doing a Zoom meeting together, just trying to encourage one another and strengthen one another and say, How can we pray for one another? Because here's the deal. We've never faced anything like this before. And so we need to be encouraging and strengthening one another, because this is no small storm that's assailing us. I realize some people have said, you know, there are more people that die of other things. And that's true. That's true. We understand that people die every day. But our world right now is fearful and concerned because of the uncertainties of being able to control this virus. But the reality of it here, these people were in a huge crisis. And it says in the end of verse 20, I want you to take a look at verse 20. Then all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. To me, that phrase defines hopelessness. Hopelessness. You know what? We've been trapped in this crisis so long. We've been battling so long. We've done everything that we can do, and nothing's helping. And somewhere down the line, they just got hopeless. They gradually lost all hope. Can I tell you something? You can face almost anything as long as you have hope. But if what you're placing your hope in is around this world and the things of the world, you'll start to question and doubt those. That's the reason why we as Christians, our hope is steadfast and sure, and His name is Jesus. And what's happening today is not a surprise to Him, and He's given us promises to trust in and believe in that are beyond this life and beyond this world. God is so good to us, church. He really, really is so good to us. And so we can praise Him today regardless of the crisis that we're facing. You may be facing a crisis right now that has nothing to do with this virus. It may be in your marriage. It may be in your health. It might be in your finances. It might be with one of your children. Or maybe you're trying to take care of a senior adult parent or something like that. It can be anything. But God is faithful, and He's given you hope. But when we are hopeless, oh my goodness, we're so vulnerable. Man, we as God's people should not be hopeless, because Christ gives us hope through the gospel. Well, what would we see in the rest of the text here? Let's take a look, verse 21 through 26. And when they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in the midst and said, "Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage. Keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on a certain island.'" Now, isn't this amazing? They're in the midst of this storm. The ship is coming apart. Everything is life-threatening. They're losing hope. And now God's man stands up and says, "Hey, I've got a message for you." The first message is this: "I told you so." You ever want to tell somebody that? "I told you so." That's kind of what Paul does here. He kind of gives them, "I told you so." And here's the deal, guys. How God's people react in crisis has the ability to hugely impact those who don't know our God. Man, if we're walking around with hopelessness and depression and fear and all those different things in the midst of the crisis, they look at us and say, "Well, your faith is no stronger than what I have without faith." So we need to have hope. We need to have a strong word. We need to be able to trust what God has told us. Now look, in this text right here, Paul says, "God has sent a messenger to me, and He's promised me that we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay." Now look, if there's something we need to do in the midst of the crisis, is to remember and cling to God's promises. You need to understand the promises of God through His Word to you as His child. Look, if God told us He would never depart from us and fail us, then we need to keep the faith in that. We need to know that our God hasn't bailed on us. He hasn't forsaken us. If God has told us that He's going to supply our needs and we need to stay faithful, then trust in Him. Believe in that promise. If God told you that His will is best for your life and you're in the situation and circumstance where you don't understand the outcome of the process and all those things, trust Him. Trust Him. Our God is still worthy of our worship and our praise and our trust. Our trust. His promises are still true. But we got to know His promises to trust in those promises. So now's the time to get in God's Word. If you read Psalms, you will understand when many times the psalmist cry out and say, oh God, this is what I'm going through. This is the hardship. This is the crisis. But God, you are faithful. You're faithful. So whatever you're facing right now, whatever that crisis might be, remember, God is faithful. God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't forsaken you. God is faithful. And you want the world around you to see that you're trusting in the promises of God. Trusting in the promises of God. Eric Lindell once said this, circumstances may appear to wreck our lives and God's plan, but God is not helpless among the ruins. Our broken lives are not lost or useless. God comes in and takes the calamity and uses it victoriously, working out His wonderful plan of love. That's the great thing about our God. He can step into our messed up lives and come out and use them for His glory. Man, He can step into our circumstances and He can be glorified and bless His people. And we get a wonderful platform to be able to say, our God is faithful. That's exactly what Paul was saying right here. God is faithful. You can trust Him. You can believe in Him. He's able. Man, we need to keep the faith. Verse 27 through 29. But when the 14th night had come, for 2 weeks, how long have we been in this thing, guys? A couple of weeks? And we don't know what the future is going to hold for the next 2 weeks. But these guys have been in this crisis for 2 weeks. It says, now when the 14th night had come, as we were being driven by the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors began to surmise that they were approaching some land. About midnight, it's the midnight hour. Isn't that when Paul and Silas was praising God in the jail cell? When things couldn't have got any worse at the darkest moment, they were praising Him. Well, here we see in the midnight hour, God is about to do His work. Verse 28, and they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms, and a little further they took another sounding and found it to be 15 fathoms. They were getting closer to land. In verse 29, fearing that they might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast 4 anchors from the stern, and they wished for daybreak. Man, they were just wishing for daybreak. The storm was so strong, it was so powerful, it was so dark in those moments. They just wanted to see the sun come up. They just wanted to see the sun. Have you had one of those moments? Have you had those crises in your life, those times when you just wrestled with God all night? Or you wrestled with your fear and concern all night? And you just wanted the sun to come up because it reminds you that God is still on His throne. Let me tell you something, friends. As sure as the sun came up this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has risen from the grave. And there's nothing in this world, nothing in this life that we need to be fearful of if we have Him in our hearts. He has defeated anything and everything in this life that could ever separate us from His love. He's crushed it under His feet. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is good. Our God is good. They were looking for the sun to come up. Let me tell you something, guys. I don't know when the sun's going to come up on this crisis that we're walking through right now, but I do know this. I'm going to keep praying. And I want you to keep praying. Man, our leaders need our prayers. Global leaders around the world need our prayers. People who are sick and they don't know if they have this virus, they need our prayers. There are those who do have it. They need our prayers. People are losing loved ones. They need our prayers. So many things that we can be praying about. Could it be that God just allowed this for a season so that we could be at our homes with our families, with His Word, and spend some time talking to Him? Man, that we could just settle down and slow down and spend some time talking to God and spend some time letting Him talk to us through His Word. Let me tell you something, guys. In this moment, they were looking for the sun to come up. They were looking for some hope. In that crisis, they needed it. And let me tell you something. We as God's children, we have hope. Some of you today that don't know Him, you're looking for some hope. You're in the middle of the crisis, and you're just looking for the sun to come up and give you some hope. And I want you to know His name is Jesus, and He loves you so much. And He would love for you to find that hope and that promise and that peace that we've been talking about this morning, to find that in a real relationship with Him. They were wishing for the sun to come up. Well, what happened? Look at the rest of the text. We'll wrap the whole message up. Verse 30, beginning in verse 30. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea on the pretense of pretending to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to a centurion of the soldiers and said, unless these men remain in the ship, you yourself cannot be saved. He told him, he said, look, you either do it God's way or it's not going to happen at all. Be obedient to what God has told you to do. Stay with the ship. And then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it fall away. In other words, we're going to stay on this ship just like Paul told us to until this ship is no more. And then God will take care of us. We're cutting those ropes and those connections that tether us to other sources of hope. And we're going to trust in God's plan. Verse 33, until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation, and for not a hair from any head of any of you will perish. Having said this, he took bread, and he gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. And then all of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took some food. All of us in the ship were 276 persons. 276 persons. And when they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing out the wheat into the sea. Then day came, and they could recognize the land, but they could not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach, and they resolved to drive the ship onto it if they could. Casting off the anchors, they left themselves into the sea while at the same time they were loosening the ropes on the rudders and hoisting the foresail on the wind. They were heading for the beach, but striking a reef where the two seas met, they ran the vessel aground, and they plowed, struck fast, and remained immovable. But the stern began to break up by the force of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim away and escape. These soldiers, man, they were in charge with keeping these prisoners. And if they escaped, these soldiers would pay for it with their own life. But what happened? But the centurion, wanting to bring Paul safely through, kept them from their intention and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest should follow, some on planks and others on various things from the ship. And so it happened on that day that all were brought safely to the land. That's a reminder, guys. Look, when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. When he says he's going to take care of his people, he's going to take care of his people. We can trust in his promises. Verse 44 tells us, thus it happened that all were brought safely to the land, just like God had promised that it would. There's a crisis, guys, that we're walking through right now, and we need hope, and we have it through Christ Jesus. But can I tell you something? There is a greater crisis that's coming. There's a greater crisis that's coming, bigger than coronavirus, bigger than hurricanes and earthquakes, bigger than the stock market crashing, or whatever your worst nightmare crisis is. There's a crisis that's coming that's bigger than that. And let me tell you what it is. For those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior, there's going to come a day when he will come and take his church and take them away from here. He's going to take them away. It's a glorious day that all of the church looks forward to. Man, we just can't wait for Jesus to come and to place us in a place that will never know sin, that will never have the consequences of sin. There'll never be cancer. There'll never be viruses. There's never going to be a hospital or a nursing home. There's never going to be a funeral home. There's never going to be a graveyard. There's never going to be any of those things. It's going to be a glorious, beautiful, wonderful place where there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no suffering, a place we call heaven, a place we call glory. It's going to be wonderful. And for God's children, we're looking forward to that day. What a glorious day that's going to be. But let me tell you something. For those who don't know Jesus, that's not going to be a glorious day. That's going to be the greatest crisis they'll ever face in this life. And it may be that he comes individually when we step through that door of death. Or it may be in that twinkling of an eye, in a moment, everything changes. And here's what I think the Bible teaches us and tells us, that in that moment, we have our opportunity for salvation is gone. See, we had our chance. We had our chance to share the gospel with the world. So we need to be faithful now. When that crisis hits, guys, there's an eternal consequence for it. We need to be sharing the gospel. Friend, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I couldn't think of a better way to come out of this crisis of this coronavirus than come out knowing him as your Lord and as your Savior. Because this won't be the last crisis that you face in this life. There will be others. But the promises of God's Word are faithful and true. You can trust in Him. You can believe in Him. He will fulfill His Word. His integrity and character is linked to His Word. God's going to be faithful to His Word. And we as His people need to stand firm in it. If you don't know Christ today as your Lord and Savior, you may be thinking, I would like to have that hope. I'd like to have that promise. Well, it's very simple, friend. All you need to do is acknowledge that you're a sinner. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all failed Him. We've all told a righteous and holy God that we're going to go our way, and we're going to step away, and we're going to do our own thing. And in that moment, we chose death. We chose to reject life and embrace death. But you don't have to remain that way. If we acknowledge that we're sinners, that we've separated ourselves from God, when we believe in Jesus, when we believe in not only what the Scriptures teach us and tell us, that He is God in flesh, that He went to the cross, He died for our sins, the one who knew no sin became sin for us, so that His righteousness might be placed on us. If we believe in Him, and that's not just a head knowledge, it's a trusting in our heart knowledge of Him and giving our life to Him, to acknowledge our sin, to believe in Him, and then simply confess Him. That we tell the world that we've trusted in Jesus for our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sin. That He's given us a new life and given us hope and peace and promise. It's so simple. God's just waiting for you to bow your heart and call out to Him. Church, God is so good to us. If you are trusting in Christ today, I would love to contact you. I'd love for you to email me or drop a note here in the comment section as a way that I can contact you or send me a message. My email is very simple. It's just webarmstrong@gmail.com, just webarmstrong@gmail.com. And I would like to tell you what the next step is in this wonderful relationship that we call faith in Jesus. Church, continue to encourage one another. Continue to check on each other. Continue to be there and be the church. The church is not closed. The church is just dispersed right now. So we're scattered. But there's going to be a time when we gather again. And we're going to be in His Spirit either on this venue or in this room. God's going to be glorified through it all. Can I pray for you this morning? Father, thank You. Thank You for the love that You show to us each and every day. And Lord, right now we're walking through somewhat of a crisis in our world. All around this globe, people are searching for hope and for peace. And I believe that the answer to that search is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that as this message goes out, that others will hear that gospel message and respond through faith and salvation. And as pastors around this globe are doing the same thing, may Your word go forth. May people hear and come to know Jesus as Lord and as Savior. Lord, continue to watch over our church family and bless. Continue to keep them strong. Continue to keep them encouraged. And help us to minister to one another and to our communities and to the world around us. Lord, we ask all these things in Your name. Amen and amen. Hey, church, don't forget, man, to be checking on one person a day. Make sure that you're doing that. Hey, reach outside of your friend group, okay? Reach outside of them and tap into some folks there that maybe you haven't met them just yet, but you got a contact on them. Reach out to one person a day. Meet those needs and help others and help us to do the same thing. Make sure you're staying informed so that we can let you know all the updates as possible. And we will try our very best to keep you informed of all the different things that are happening. Hey, before you sign off, don't forget, I would love for you to be able to pop in the comments there how many folks are watching with you. Just give me a number on that. And hey, if you're outside of our church family, welcome. Put your location in there as well so that we can just let you know. We really appreciate you joining us for worship this morning. Hey, if we can do anything for you, please contact us here at Newzyme. We love you guys and are so grateful for you. God bless you and have a great day today.